kakakakam ko ni Nichirilgani Unamka Stamirit Nguk. And we are now beginning our fish talk here at KYUK 640 on your radio dial. Unashu, this is a calling show. So give us a call and ask questions to my guests here. Lines are 907-543-5985. 907-543-2756. Outside of Bethel, villages, 1-800-995-8954. Email akaluji lupiukuchi radio at kyuk.org. Takutoy lainat. We have a lot to report. These ladies have a lot to report today. So let's get right into it. Introduce yourselves, please. Tris, Sam, and then go ahead with your report, Sam. I mean, Tris, sorry.
Sounds good. Thursday brain.
Pride.
Good afternoon. This is Tris Vicente with the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. Happy to be here again this week.
Hi, everyone. This is Sam Decker with Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I'm the Kuskokwim Area Fisheries Management Biologist. Shall I start off with the sonar update from yesterday?
Yes, it was go right ahead, and then after you're done with that, do jump right into Trish's reports here.
Okay, it was another really exciting day at the Cusco Sonar. 2 days previous, we had a daily passage of 28,000 coho, and yesterday we had 38,000 coho go by the sonar.
Wow.
So that's our update for coho.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. This is Trace with Fish Commission. So I think the biggest news jumping on the coho numbers is that yesterday our co-management team, Intertribal Fish Commission and Fish and Wildlife Service at Yukon Delta Refuge met and decided to rescind federal management on the Kuskokwim for the year. Plain words, federal management is lifting all the restrictions that were put into effect on June 1 have been lifted from the refuge waters effective today, August 7th at noon, so an hour ago. And once that happens, management of salmon on the Kuskokwim returns to the state of Alaska. So I'll let in a moment, I'll let Sam give an update on Fish and Game's management plans, but just a little bit about how our co-management team made that decision. So at every meeting, our team begins with a round of community updates, and our Intertribal Fish Commission has in-season managers from the coast all the way up into the headwaters. So we get, river-wide updates about fishing, subsistence, weather conditions, other river updates, and everyone reported that people seem pretty content with the fishing that's happened so far this year. We're really thankful for that. Many families have been out berry picking and focusing on berries over the last couple weeks. Even blackberries, we've been talking about that. They seem pretty early this year, and there's been fairly low effort for coho salmon fishing. People have been, they went out with gill nets last week when it was open, and then again on Tuesday when there was the 12-hour opener in the lower river. There's been some people rod and reeling, but people are mostly, not a whole lot of pressure on coho salmon, and the numbers seem better than recent years, which is really, really encouraging. So our team unanimously, both Intertribal Fish Commission and Fish and Wildlife Service side, felt comfortable lifting the conservation restrictions that have been in place, and that's how they made their decision, to open up fishing and return management back to the state of Alaska. And I do just want to share, so we did what is likely our last in-season harvest monitoring and estimate on Tuesday, August 5th, during that opener. And we had some staff at the boat harbor helping ONC with their capacity, and then the Fish Commission's community-based monitors in other communities from Tunt all the way up to Tuluksac. And, you know, we estimate effort was really low. Fewer than 50 people were out drifting that we could tell from our interviews and the aerial survey. We didn't see any set nets. We heard some reports, but, you know, very low effort there. And as for harvest, we're estimating there are maybe 20 or so chum salmon caught between Tunt and Tuluksac, 34 sockeye salmon, fewer than 10 king salmon, and just around 1,800 coho salmon. So, I mean, people came back with really good numbers of silvers, those who went out. I was at the boat harbor talking with people in Bethel. People were pretty pleased with, you know, how many silvers they were catching in such a short amount of time that many folks were out drifting. Not a lot of pressure on our kings and chums, so, and just not a lot of people out in general. It was really quiet. So, yeah. So
this time of the year, it's usually like that. Mm-hmm. Now, people are still after berries.
Yes.
But as it starts to cool and the blue flies start getting away, you know, there'll be people out there. I'll be one of them.
Yeah. we hope people can get out and, you know, put some more fish in the freezer, put them up in jars. So, yeah, good news. And I'll see what Sam has to add from the state side.
Mm-hmm. Let me anytime, day or night, 24/7. Atakaluni kubya yukungaluni kuyout kuya luting akut murilki luting pilret unakin changi nakamunik awabat headwater at kisuki naknik report doctoral rita murilki luting sukuya klukita makuta huang kutasu unani man mamtris me middle kaska kumam kopila kait kutmani Daim atakalutin kubuyal rit. Amsin ritut awai kananisu. I saw maybe like 3 boats atasumni. When I went across to camp, when it was open, only one, I think, or two from my fish campsite, our fish campsite. There were only two that went down and came right back. You know, that's how abundant the silvers are. So I'm pleased with the return, with that very early catch in July of one fisherman reporting of a coho early on. I had my hopes up that it was going to be a good silver on this year. Kuyana ni chugunilgani kalinagluchi apkawakluchi pinnaktuchi number at 907-543-5985-543-2756 go ahead, Sam.
Okay, well, I'll give a few more updates on the sonar passage. Coho was definitely the big story today. The king salmon, we haven't seen any king salmon go past the sonar for a couple of days now. We did see a bump of chum just 2 days ago, and we saw a few more sockeye still going past on the last couple of days, so about 8,000 more sockeye. So it's nice to see that those are still out in the river, and you might catch some of those if you're going for coho with your gill nets. Mm-hmm. For ciscos, we had 509,000 ciscos past the sonar as of this morning, and broad whitefish, we had 22,000. Humpback whitefish, we had 555,000 go past the sonar as of yesterday evening. And I'm curious if those numbers are looking normal to folks. Do they normally catch whitefish at this time of year?
This time of the year, yes.
Okay.
We start catching them.
These are
in
really,
more number.
Really good numbers. Yeah. And 21,000 she-fish have gone past the sonar since the start of our season. So that's an exciting number to see, too. So I'll read the announcement. So the state waters were, or the navigable waters were returned to state management as of noon today. And we have published this through our regular email system, so all the folks out there who are signed up for our advisory announcements to come to your email, you should have gotten this right around noon today. We'll also pushed it out through Facebook to all of the regular community pages, so you can expect to see it there. And so I'll go ahead and just read it. This is an announcement from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Bethel for subsistence fishers on the Kuskokwim River. The Kuskokwim River from the mouth up to the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge boundary near Aniak has been under federal special action since June 1. After reviewing coho salmon passage estimates at the Kuskokwim River sonar, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has rescinded the FSA and fisheries management of the lower Kuskokwim has returned to the department. Throughout the summer season, the department has monitored the salmon runs in the Kuskokwim area. Assessment projects operated by ADF&G, Oritsararmute Native Council, Native Village of Napaimute, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, and the National Park Service have all contributed to a better understanding of the 2025 salmon runs. Through discussions at weekly Kuskokwim River Salmon Management Working Group meetings, subsistence fishers have reported satisfaction with their salmon harvest, which is reflected in the declining harvest efforts. As of August 6th, about 249,000 coho salmon have been counted at the Kuskokwim River sonar. This is the highest coho salmon passage observed at the project for the state. As such, the coho salmon is likely to meet escapement goals while allowing for a normal subsistence harvest and a limited commercial harvest. The department will continue to operate the Kuskokwim River sonar through August to monitor the coho salmon run. The sustainable escapement goal range at the Kugrugluk River Weir is 13,000 to 28,000 fish, so we'll be watching that number. And the working group will continue to discuss the coho salmon run and management during future meetings. For subsistence sections 1 through 5, and this is from the mouth of the Kuskokwim River up through the headwaters, effective noon today, Thursday, August 7th, subsistence fishing with set and drift gill nets will open. Gill nets shall be 6-inch mesh or less and must not exceed 50 fathoms and 45 meshes in depth. Also effective today at noon, Thursday, August 7th, all salmon species may be retained in all legal subsistence gears, including gill nets, fish wheels, dip nets, beach seines, hook and line, and all of the other gears. Mm. If folks have questions, they can give us a call at the office in Bethel. And just as a reminder, we have set gill nets must be separated by 75 feet minimum, and a gill net may not obstruct more than one half of any width of any... Let me start that one again. A gill net may not block more than one half of the width of any stream, channel, or side channel.
So not all the way.
Not all the way. There has to be room for boats to go around. Yes.
That would be something to see on the Kuskokwim River, a net straight across to the other side. That would be something. I don't think anyone would dare try that.
I don't think so on the main stem, but on the tributaries or a side channel, I can see how that could be accidentally done.
Yeah. Further up towards the ends of the rivers. I've seen nets where it's almost completely blocked. But there's always a passage. They always leave an open spot where a boat will go through. And that's what we have been encouraged from childhood. I started hearing that. Never block a river completely. And this was told by my father, my uncles. And if we do see a net that has completely covered a stream or a river, to bring it up right away. So we're aware of those. We are aware of those.
I know it's a long time stewardship practice, mm-hmm. And we usually see really good compliance. Sometimes when someone is intending to only fish half their net, they'll wad up the other half and leave it on shore. And if the wind starts to blow, it can drag the corks out. So I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens on accident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, high water will do that.
That'll do it too. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Aku kut awai jali kanrutkin pihluku unakwani unani kuskupakmi liftakit unakwani federal fettatuhau kutta tuo Mexico pihlumuhtu umkuluku pihlho juun wannaam kayakuluku kanakin kuskupim paingan kiukuna Aniak Riveram Aniak Paksakt Kihluku. Tamana regulator Mashukeh Pak. Kuviat Kamtnikchikumakluta. And as of today, 1 o'clock, Ikihtuk Unai wide open 24/7. It's good to know for anyone that is looking to go out and do more fishing. I'm sure that for guys like us that salt fish and jar silvers, that's very good news for us. So mm-hmm. when my wife takes a weekend break, that will give me time to go out and catch a few for jarring and also salting fish. There's a lot of blue flies at the moment out there, so if you do hang to dry, you need to really watch them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them since we had real sunny and warm days. That's what happens. After it cools down a little bit, that's the best time to go out and start going after them.
And we often hear that coho are still running in the river into early October.
Yes,
so there should be time yet for folks to go and get a few extra fish.
September when my parents were alive, September was the time when the blue flies start fall. You know, they don't get their eggs laid on the fish.
It gets cold at night and they go into hibernation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the time they started going out. And silvers are quick. You can hang them for like maybe 4 or 5 days and then you can bring them into the smokehouse. So maybe their oil content is a little lower maybe, but I don't know. But they're tasty fish. Mm-mm. They're one of the best salmons there is on the river. You two have been here all summer, every Thursday. Now, well, give or take.
I was traveling for most of June.
Yeah. It's a busy year for people like you two, and you have taken your time out to come to KYUK and make reports of what's happening out there. And I'm very thankful for the both of you. And we'll see what we were talking about earlier mm-hmm. before. Usually when the river is wide open, the fish talk goes away. For report purposes, I'm going to bring this up with my supervisor, see if we can maybe hold a day out of a month, mm-hmm. or maybe even two, if it could happen, to make reports of what's happening out there. And if the state is willing, and I know that you are,
mm-hmm.
we'll come up with something. And I know that the board will need to approve it before it happens. Mm. But anyway, you have more to report?
Sure. Well, I'd just like to thank you for all of your hard work with this show over the summer. Mm-hmm. This is such an excellent way to get in touch with people who live in all of the communities along the Kuskokwim River. And we do have some things that will be of interest to subsistence fishers going on through this fall with the Board of Fish meeting that's happening in Fairbanks in November. People might be interested in hearing updates and meeting deadlines and deadlines about submitting comments and how to do things like that. So that might be a good thing to have the show that you were talking about once a month. Mm-hmm. So this is Sam Decker with ADF&G, and I remember last week we had talked about bringing some Yukon data.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I brought that information. Well, of course, the Yukon River is very long, and so the kings have only just started arriving up in Eagle, where we count the fish as they cross into Canada. And so I have the pilot station numbers for salmon, and then I have the Eagle kings number. So at pilot station, they had about 60,000 kings go past their sonar, and about 22,000 of those have made it into Canada so far. Actually, I don't know the Canadian percentage, but that's something that they usually keep track of at that site in order to help understand how many fish should be arriving in Canada. The concern there that they've been paying attention to the last couple of years is a disease called ichthyophonus. And the ichthyophonus causes all kinds of health issues for the fish and can, you know, the same way you would do if you were running a marathon with a flu, you might not finish the marathon. Yeah. And so they pay attention to the genetics at that pilot station sonar point and then count the fish going across Eagle sonar into Canada to understand that relationship. They were taking ichthyophonus samples at pilot station the same way that ONC and ADF&G were doing so at the Cusco sonar here on the Kuskokwim. So that's the king news from the Yukon. The summer chum, there were 347,000 summer chum passed the pilot station sonar and 102,000 fall chum. And the coho run there is just beginning, and they've had about 14,000 coho so far this year.
That's not bad. Those numbers are not bad.
It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we hope to see that Canadian run of king salmon and fall chum be strong and make it up into Canada, and they'll be continuing those projects for another few weeks yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of hopeful that they will hopefully by next year have a few openers of going out and do even a little set net, you know.
Well,
with the right gear.
They have been offering set net opportunity all summer long with 4-inch mesh. Mm. It's designed to target the whitefish and the sheafish who run along the banks. But there are also some incidental harvest of different species of salmon. There was a break that they took from the 4-inch mesh. Last year was the first year they did it. They did it again this year. And we call it a rolling closure because it starts at the mouth of the Yukon when the king salmon arrive. And then it rolls up through all the districts of the Yukon as those early kings, which are more likely to be Canadian, as those ones pass through the entire river, that closure rolls upstream with them. It's a difficult thing to do to remove that 4-inch gear, which is truly what the state of Alaska considers to be a subsistence gear. That's the gear that you can use all year long without any kind of opener and closure under the state rules. We find that oftentimes people, when they're going berry picking at this time of year, they'll take an even smaller net, something 10 feet long or 15 feet long, something you can throw into a backpack, and they'll put it out while they're going berry picking and catch a couple of fish, whatever happens to be passing by. Yep. So we are very careful to restrict gear like that, because we know that it has such an incredible value of food for the users all along these very remote river systems.
Yes.
So that's something that they have been doing over there in order to try and ensure that we reduce the bycatch of king salmon from the lower communities, those king salmon that are in headed up to Canada.
Okay, Sam, did you needed to add something? I saw your hand going up earlier.
Yeah, this is Therese with the Intertribal Fish Commission. I was just curious, the numbers you reported from the Yukon, do you know how they compare to long-term averages for the kings and summer chum and fall chum? Not recent, like 5 years, because things have been so bad recently, but longer-term abundance. Do you know off the top of your head?
So that would be posted on their daily announcement.
Okay.
And I didn't print off their daily announcement today.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious, because I've heard from some Yukon people, and they said, you know, the numbers still are not anywhere near what historic abundance is. So hopefully the conservation measures mm-hmm. will help them rebuild, and hopefully we can get those conservation measures out in the oceans too, like really holistically across the salmon life cycle. But yeah, I was just curious. Thank you.
No, yeah. Those are great questions. Comparing helps us understand what we're looking at. But I can recall recent years when I was working over on the Yukon, when the number of kings was 42,000. Mm-hmm. And so this is
definitely 60,
over 60,000.
Yeah.
We're making improvements.
Yeah. Okay. That's, yeah. Hopefully that's good news for our Yukon mm-hmm. friends and relatives.
Yeah. And by the right gear, I would like to see that come back for mm-hmm. the Yukon people mm-hmm. to, for them to be able to go out and fish with the right gear. For the species that they are going after. We went through the same thing here early on. And I couldn't complain because we were catching to have a taste of salmon. Mm. And we were catching quite fish out there too. And trouts there. They're not bad taste. That they taste good, and they get caught on that four inch gear. So there's hope for our Yukon brothers and sisters out there. There's the numbers are come. Look. They look like they're coming back on a comeback. So keep praying.
Mm-hmm.
Keep
we
praying.
We wish them the best.
Yeah. Yes.
And I could jump in. This is mm-hmm. Trace again with the Intertribal Fish Commission. Just, you know, our team, now that we're through co-management, we've really been thinking about this last season or starting to think about it. And I just really want to extend a big Koyana Chinan, you know, huge gratitude to our in-season managers. I mean, Sam Decker knows it's not easy to be in the management seat whatsoever. So I don't know if they're listening, but just want to thank our tribal in-season managers, Betty Magnuson in McGrath, Tracy Simeon in Drothbrook, Mike Williams Sr. in Akiak, Henry Hunter Sr. here in Bethel, and Paul Cleveland in Quinnahawk. Many of those folks have been at the table, you know, making these in-season management decisions for several years. Tracy's brand new this year, and she was a great asset to our team. We're glad our tribes voted her in, and you know, we're just really proud of these in-season managers for the time they took to show up throughout the summer, week in, week out, bring reports from their communities, bring their traditional knowledge, their local knowledge, the guidance of their elders, you know, weigh that with the more Western science assessment data that we get from, you know, our team, the state, ONC, Fish and Wildlife, all the many people, Native Village and Apaimu, everyone working for fisheries conservation on the river. So, just a big shout out to those in-season managers this year. And also, you know, huge gratitude to our partners at Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge. This last year marked our 10th year of federal tribal co-management for Kuskokwim salmon. And, you know, we don't have any refuge partners here today, but I'm sure they could speak to, you know, how we've built that relationship over the last decade, the ups and the downs, you know, the many changes we've gone through. Like, we now have 5 in-season managers in the Fish Commission, and we started with only 3. You know, we've seen lots of turnover in our refuge managers, but I think, you know, at the end of our meeting yesterday, everyone was just really grateful and proud of the partnership we've built. And just also, I can't stop the thanks without thanking the subsistence people on the Kuskokwim too, who have sacrificed so much, not just this year, but, you know, going on, 15 years now, to help protect Kuskokwim salmon and make sure there's salmon to go around for future generations of fishers too, as well as, you know, today's fishing families. So yeah, just a lot of gratitude, and just a lot of hope to continue to see numbers of salmon on the Kuskokwim rebuild and on the Yukon too. I feel like we can't ever talk about the Kuskokwim without talking about the Yukon. So yeah.
Guayana. Those two rivers that you mentioned, the Kusko and the Yukon River, I think they're brother and sister rivers. You know, that's how I look at it, because we're so close together in some areas of the state. The two rivers nearly come together.
Mm-hmm. In speaking with some folks at the university, I heard that at one point in the geologic history of Alaska, they were one river.
Wow, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
So many things have happened over the YK Delta.
Mm-hmm. And talking about the numbers of the fish that were harvested, do one of you have any numbers on how Area M numbers have turned up this year on their commercial fishing?
I do, yes. This is Therese again with Intertribal Fish Commission. So Area M, I just looked today before the show, and as of this past Monday, August 4th, they hit over 1 million chum salmon commercially harvested in that fishery. They're at 1,005,000, it's like 1,005,000 chum salmon, and close to 11,000 king salmon as well. And, you know, this is after their June fishery. That's the one we really pay the closest attention to, because that's when we see the highest numbers of Western and Interior Alaska chum salmon, including Kusko and Yukon chum salmon, get caught down there. So at the end of June 2025, fisheries in Area M reported catching about 165,000 chum salmon. So their numbers have really jumped up since then. We don't know after June, you know, we don't have a good read on how many of those post-June salmon are from Western and Interior Alaska, but it is a lower number. They start to see more, you know, fish from other parts of Alaska and the U.S. and from overseas. I did just get a report on the other side of the Alaska Peninsula from the Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute. They're kind of the fisheries research arm of Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation. And they've been doing, I mean, they do a lot of work down in like Port Moeller, Bristol Bay area, but over the past 2 years, they've been doing in-season chum salmon genetic testing in the near shore pollock trawl fishery fleet. And that part of the pollock trawl fleet, the inshore vessels, you know, the ones that fish closer to the North Alaska Peninsula, they have to bring their hauls back to port to onshore processors. They tend to catch the most chum salmon and also the most Western and Interior Alaska chum salmon as bycatch when they're fishing for pollock. And recently, I think it was their statistical week 27, which is just, you know, towards the end of July, when BBSRI, the Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute, ran the genetic analysis for chum caught that week in that fishery, they're hovering around 14% of the haul was from western and interior Alaska. So that's about on par with what we normally see. You know, it's usually somewhere between 12 and 20% or so we've seen over the last recent years. That's how much of the annual chum salmon bycatch in the Bering Sea pollock trawl fishery is from our region of Alaska. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, they're at 14%, starting to see a lot more chum salmon from Northeast Asian. They're mainly hatchery fish over there, as I understand it. And I think Northeast is mostly like Korea, Japan, or excuse me, probably Russia at that point. Mm-hmm. Northeast Asia, I think they categorize Russia in there. But so, you know, starting to see, I mean, it makes sense. Most of, you know, chum salmon that we're going to return to our rivers have made it back. They're on their way up to their spawning grounds. So we, you know, at the Fish Commission, we're keeping tabs on those numbers and happy to talk with people about them too.
Yeah, we have a caller from St. Mary's. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just heard somebody say people making a big sacrifice. And they have too much. Sad to see all those elders not having their food medicine. It's tough. Just because the fishing ends doesn't mean we have to stop working on this problem. Got to do it all next winter. Against this bycatch. This bycatch is a big problem. It's their turn to make the sacrifice. The people sacrificed enough, especially of themselves. And I heard a comment once, maybe the fish are declining because they're starting to look for oil in the interior of Alaska. And they used to have a roe fishery there, a king salmon roe fishery. Maybe they're not going to do that again. Okay, that's all I wanted to say before I start going off. Thank you very much.
Okay, Kuyana. Kuyana Kwatkalakalitin. From St. Mary's. Yeah. We went through the same thing here in the Kuskokwim when it hit us. We were looking to our elders how we could make a few catches to have them a taste of a salmon, because it's a part of me. Mm-hmm. I grew up on it. And just imagine if I was feeling what I was feeling at the time, how it is for the elder native person that have basically eaten fish all their life, and they're coming down to the last years of the life. I don't know how to compare that or put it into words that would ease their mind. But I don't know. But give or take, I'm looking at the numbers here that have passed through Yukon this year, and they're looking good. And I'm hoping in a year or two that the Yukon people will be able to go out with the right gear, going after the right, the right species of salmon to put on their table. You know, it happened here, so don't lose hope. hope is something we hold on to and don't let it go. It's something that we live with. Akutu mani kwa kuskuk pagmi kuih pagmi su pilat pilat hit awani awani gahtimni akakuk tamani tangho luka pilhatni mana kuskuk pag una si kuih pagsu akutu singasu kuih kuih pakani nani time connect housing alut tamana toy alanga nakin ritok tang bakhluki makut kui git ma ni chimik to kuluting pilrit awatmtni sand bars forming and stuff like that so I'm not really surprised that Yukon and Kuskokwim were one river at one time. There was a connection there long time ago, but we do have a caller from here in Bethel. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to all of you.
Thank you.
I heard Kuskokwim River is open now. 24/7.
Yes, 24/7.
Yeah, good. I agree with my native brother from Yukon. They should do the same on the Yukon. He's right. This window's closing for to put fish in the freezer and the food for the winter time. I believe they should give them the same opportunity to subsist. Remember I said subsist? They're having a heyday out there on commercial fishing, bycatch, interception, and I commend them also for the articles in our local newspaper. They want to have chance as bycatch too. I agree with them 100%. They're doing nothing on bycatch on them trawlers. I'm happy they put in a proposal to have them have bycatch on king salmon too. Enough blameless natives, the Arctic, Yukon, and Kuskokwim rivers. Put us on restrictions. That's unfair. Discrimination. We're trying to put fish only for subsistence. Commercial fishing, trawlers out there. I'm glad they put in a proposal to have the opportunity to have king salmon for bycatch. They're right. And I thank them big time for that. Now it's time to be equal. Enough of this putting me and my people on restrictions. Every year, banning us. And it's happening out there in the sea and the ocean. One more article from the newspaper. I thank Salmon State and the representatives. They want to put a stop on all these trawlers. I give them a big thank you for that. About time. Enough bycatch and blameless people. I mean my native people for the interception. That's not right. And I hope it goes through on halting all the trawlers and interception. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call, and I am happy they opened up the river. And they should do the same for the Yukon people. From all the way from the coast, from the mouth, all the way up the river. They owe them that. Enough suffering like that my native brother said. And our elders need that food. Okay, thank you.
Ii, koyan kwal kala gulun. Makin mantel kena kau nak kaya gulun ni pilrek. Makunik unani. Imak pimpni kanani. Tralak gulun pitulit time proposal lah maka Allah cilinit. Tahunat kuingat cilin nut tanasun rikka. So I'm happy about that too. That proposal coming up toward making restrictions for the bycatch on those trawlers out there, because I don't know how much of that fish is edible, because I hear they catch so much that they're smashed, you know, and they can't be eaten. But anyway, you were out for a good number of days at one of the rivers or two of the rivers, Good News, Anachdok and Quinhock. Can we hear a little bit about your trip to those rivers? See how it was?
Oh, so the Quinhock and Good News Bay village trips that I took with Madison were wonderful. It was Madison's first time to be meeting those communities, and we were able to walk around and meet with so many people. And when we were in Quinhock, we talked with the city office, the corporation, and with the tribal council. We were able to meet with their natural resources director and to talk about some local issues on both rivers. We met with sport fishing guides and understood how they work with those different tribal entities, and we were able to tour those two communities with Truitt from the Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. And we were so lucky that he was able to come along, because he had just I guess he was in the middle of doing some moose surveys. Oh. And so he was there to meet people, and we had fisheries information and he had moose information. And so it was really wonderful that we were able to spend so many days in each community, because people had time to talk with us over coffee and to ask us any question that came to their minds. And at that time of year, people were very curious about how many moose he was seeing and whether they were seeing twins or single calves. So he had good news for them. The moose in that area seemed to be doing very well.
Great.
And when Madison was just out doing the aerial surveys over those rivers, she saw a lot of every kind of salmon. Lots of kings. We met the escapement gulls on the Kinnektok and the Aralic rivers for the king salmon. She saw chum salmon spawning from the mouth all the way up to the lake, and lots of them. And then, of course, sockeye everywhere in our system just seemed to be going through the roof. In fact, since we had folks calling in from the Yukon area, I remembered that I forgot to mention the pilot station sonar on the Yukon River counted 5,000 sockeye this year.
Great.
And so if they're lucky, those sockeye will get a toehold, just like they're doing in the Kuskokwim River, and that's a run that could potentially start building. We do have lake-type sockeye and stream-spawning sockeye, which means that there's plenty of habitat over in the Yukon.
Yes.
So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, my fingers are crossed for the sockeye in that area. And in talking about so I probably should have introduced myself. Sorry for the listeners online. This is Sam Decker with ADF&G. You were mentioning how sad it is when elders are restricted from catching fish. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the sharing networks that we found with our post-season subsistence salmon harvest surveys that we do both on the Yukon and on the Kuskokwim, because those surveys will be coming up soon, starting in September and October. And oftentimes when folks on the Yukon are putting out their 4-inch mesh or their 6-inch mesh trying for these summer chums, they're catching a few kings. And there are elders' homes in different communities up the Yukon. And we find that people, when they catch a few kings and they are, you know, gilled, and so they must be killed and they must be kept, they'll process those into dry fish or half-smoked, and they'll ship them up to the elders' homes so
great.
That the elders' homes can take those donations and use them for hot lunches, whether in the community or up in a hub like Galena or Imonic. So I just wanted to pass that along. I know it's not what we would like it to be. Mm-hmm. We would like there to be abundant king salmon on the Yukon, but the people on the river are so generous and take good care of their elders with what they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good to know. One question that popped up into my mind when you guys were flying around counting moose, have you guys spotted that moose right around the mouth of Oscarville Slough? There's a young bull, maybe I'd say about five, 7 year old. It had pretty good antlers and it's limping.
I did not see that moose when I was flying around doing aerial surveys.
Yeah, it's limping. We saw that yesterday when my wife and I, when my wife and I were across at the camp. Mm. It came out, and it had a very bad limp. Mm. It looked healthy and all that, but it has a broken leg. And I was wondering if he had an accident or he had a fight. I don't know, but it's there.
Yeah.
And one of you guys flying around, maybe you guys will spot it.
We are all done with our aerial surveys for this year, but just for a fun note, since I'm a fisheries biologist, that's what I specialize in, fisheries, resource management, people, the economics of a fishery. I always have a fun time and keep track on my fish surveys of how many moose I see, how many black bears, how many brown bears. And one of the cool things this year was we saw a black bear sow with three cubs.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really cute.
One time in my lifetime, I've seen a brown bear with four cubs.
Wow.
Only once.
Here?
This was in Togiak in Bristol Bay.
Yeah.
Out in the coast. And that was maybe like 5 years ago, 7 years ago, something like that. Four babies, you know, and they weren't small. they were almost the same size as their mom.
She was doing a good job.
Yeah, and she was going to send them away soon. But anyway, we're dwindling down with our time here. Five more minutes left. And Tris, do you have anything to add before we run out of time here?
Sure. I can just say, with salmon management winding down and the field season kind of winding down to our Takotna River Weir crew way up in the headwaters of our river is still working that weir, but they're planning on ending operations around Sunday, August 10th. That's, you know, typically when we close down that weir site. So they'll start with pulling out the weir and getting camp ready for fall and winter. Just thanks to them. It's been a successful year up there, too, and they're getting good passage of kings and chums compared to some recent years. So that's encouraging to see. I would be happy, and I'm sure the Fish Commission would be happy to continue KYUK Fish Talk through the winter. Mm-hmm. There's lots happening this winter, like Sam Decker mentioned, with the Arctic Yukon Kuskokwim Board of Fish meeting coming up this fall. And there's Area M Board of Fish meeting next February, right after the North Pacific Council meeting with Chum Salmon Bycatch. So lots of ocean-related salmon management coming down the pipeline, and there's definitely a lot we want the public and our tribes to be aware of. So we're happy to continue to work with KYUK. It's always great to work with our local public radio, and folks can get in direct contact with us as well. We're always happy to talk with individual fishers, individual, you know, people interested in and taking a stand or just learning more. Happy to support our tribes as well and communities with advocacy and understanding, you know, all the different regulations and proposals and things, because they get really confusing. So our office line is 545-7388. Anyone can call anytime and, you know, get a hold of our staff, and we'll make sure you get in touch with the right person, whether you have questions about policy or projects, anything in between. We're always happy to talk fish. So, Goyana again, Sam, yes. Berlin, for hosting such a great show this season.
Yeah, Goyana Kwa, it's humbling. It's humbling to know that, but we pull it through. Mm-hmm. And we hopefully will continue.
Yeah.
Even if it's like once a month to do reports.
Yeah.
We'll see what my supervisor says, and she'll bring it up with her supervisor. I'm sure it's going to go up the chain and see what happens. Closing remarks. We'll call that your closing remark. We'll let you do yours.
So this is Sam Decker with Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And I would just like to thank the callers who called in today. Like to thank everyone for their stewardship of the salmon on the Kuskokwim River. I'm really pleased to watch these coho numbers be so strong. I'm so pleased to be working here on the Kuskokwim with all of the people here. Yes. And thank you again to Sam Berlin for hosting this wonderful show to reach out to all the people.
Goyana, and I hope that you have no plans to skip Bethel and move somewhere else again in the near future. But Goyana, remember, Kuskokwak ikihtuk 24/7. So anyone that is looking to have a supper for silver, you can go out, catch one fish, and then go home and cook it and do it again for maybe morning breakfast. So great. We'll see what happens. I'll talk with my supervisor, and then I'll get back with you too. Or I'll let her call you too. Thank you.